Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew, 651-989-5855 is the phone number. You can use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. You can also use the hashtag Tim Hortons TCNT.
That's right. We're going to deliver Tim Hortons coffee and some Timbits to an office every Thursday. We chose Rhiannon one this week, so we'll be visiting her office later this week on Thursday. Keep entering. Keep using that hashtag Tim Hortons TCNT, however. And we will choose another office next week and be there next Thursday.
And by the way, it's not just, I mean, we got Tim Hortons and coffee and Timbits and treats, yeah, which is great, but there's like other things that we're bringing. Like
what?
There's like other stuff.
Like what?
It's like a pack.
I didn't know this.
And it has prizes.
I was not privy to this.
Yes, you are. You've seen the bag. It's right in there with Brianne. It's right in
was
there.
Was I not supposed to touch that?
That's right.
I've been rifling through that thing.
Well,
all
maybe
week.
You're not getting special prizes in Tim Hortons coffee and Timbits. Yesterday.
You get John's deluxe edition of Transformers on Blu-ray.
You will not.
How dare you, sir?
Just the case, though.
Wow.
Or the DVD that comes with it.
You can have the DVD copy. That's fine. That will not be watched. Unless it has the special editions on it, then you ain't having that either. Not the case either. I need something to look at while I watch it. Newbie. On Tuesday, The Hill revealed the FBI and court documents alleging that the Clintons, the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton-led State Department under Barack Obama did not have clean hands when it comes to dealings with Moscow. I mean, their hands were dirty. I mean, like, dirtier than Sam's hands, right? You know? And she talks about how her hands are genuinely dirty.
Yeah.
The Hill reporters' inquiry found that the FBI began investigating an effort by the Russian government to infiltrate the American nuclear materials industry as early as 2009. Russian nuclear industry officials were engaged in bribery, kickbacks, extortion, money laundering designed to grow Putin's atomic energy business inside the United States.
Joining us now, friend of the show, Andrew Langer, usually joins us on Monday, with a special Wednesday appearance this week. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm shocked.
Are you?
Shocked to find that, in point of fact, what was being said during the 2016 campaign was true.
The reporters were privy to documents revealing the scope of the FBI's operation, which was extensive and supported the allegation that Moscow had compromised a uranium trucking firm. And all of this took place before the Russian energy firm Rosatom secured its first 17% stake in the American nuclear materials extraction company, Uranium One, back in 2009. Were you aware, how aware were you of any of this in Uranium One prior to this Hill article and the subsequent articles that have come out since then yesterday?
I don't think anybody was aware of the FBI investigation. I don't think anybody was aware of the FBI investigation, you know, being almost completed or being slow walked or any of those things. And that's probably the most disturbing aspect of this, guys, because remember, this deal had to be approved by a 9-member board comprised of a bunch of cabinet officials, including the Attorney General Eric Holder, and presumably the Attorney General was aware of the ongoing FBI investigation into this and the allegations of corruption. And so the fact that he voted for this deal, that bothers me greatly. I mean, that's just very disturbing. And remember, all of the players who are involved in the Russian investigation into Donald Trump, right, the investigation of Trump and Russia collusion, whatever it is, Mueller, Comey, Rosenstein, they were all at the FBI at the time this was going on. I don't think it's too much to sort of say, you know, remember, it wasn't the Russians who prevented Hillary Clinton from visiting the various swing states that she completely ignored. And yet we're going to blame Russia for Trump's winning the election, and yet nobody seems to look askance at the $145 million. This is what we knew, right? We knew that $145 million had gone from this company, this small Canadian mining company, to the Clinton Foundation. We knew that had happened before this deal was made. And yet, if you look at the election and fact-checking during the election, there was constant pushback over the concept of somehow this $145 million deal influencing anybody in government, let alone Hillary Clinton.
Now, let me ask you this. The investigation began when Robert Mueller, now investigating the Trump campaign, was head of the FBI. It was overseen by Rod Rosenstein, who is now Trump's deputy attorney and the man responsible for the appointment of the special counsel. Now, according to the Hill article, there's nothing in the bombshell revelations that challenges the validity of questions being investigated by Robert Mueller's office. Anyone who wants to undermine the legitimacy of that probe and attack the characters of its principal investigators, though, now has a trove of new ammunition at their disposal. The question, though, I have here is, one, we noticed, we talk about the deafening silence, Trump hasn't commented on this yet. Do you think it's possible that Trump was aware of this because of Mueller and Rosenstein and therefore was more confident moving forward with all of these Russian allegations being thrown at him, knowing that there was this whole thing just waiting in the wings that was going to come out?
Well, I don't know about that per se. Listen, I think in the end, you know, Trump always knew that there was and knows that there's no there. Of course, I think in terms of that kind of a political strategy, you know, there's sort of court intrigue strategy. I think that helps in terms of whether or not the investigation, like the special investigation, goes well outside of the bounds of Russian interference in the election. Right. I mean, that's always the problem with special prosecutors is they can investigate anything. And so Trump could always push back and say, listen, you guys massively dropped the ball on this. And so, you know, if you're going to go after me, why didn't you guys go after them? I don't know. I think the simplest explanation is almost always the correct one. And in this instance, it's just entirely simple that Trump may not have known about the depth of the FBI investigation.
Yeah, and why didn't it go any, do we have any idea why it didn't go any farther? I mean, the story goes on to say what's odd about the whole account of this is the fact of how sluggish the FBI investigation was.
Well, I mean, I think there's that issue. I think, you know, once again, it sort of gets back to remember, you know, the FBI, if there's one thing that's becoming clear, it's that the FBI, for an organization that's supposed to be free of politics, the FBI was a very political organization. And you're getting a much clearer picture that Comey really didn't manage this organization well, and that Trump was very well justified in firing him, because you have this investigation, you've got the Clinton email investigation and the bungling of that, you've got the intrigue between President Clinton and Attorney General Lynch. I mean, all of these things are paint both a DOJ and an FBI under the Obama administration. It's a very troubled organization, very disturbingly troubled.
Andrew Langer, can you hang on the line?
Sure.
Okay. President of the Institute for Liberty and host of the LangerCast, Andrew Langer. We'll get to a little bit more. The one, I was pulling out points from Commentary Magazine. They had an article titled The Other Russia Scandal. Also, The Hill had the main article yesterday, FBI uncovered Russian bribery plot before Obama administration approved a controversial nuclear deal with Moscow. We'll also get into the Clinton Foundation and what Bill Clinton received during one particular speech in Moscow. It's all coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
Justice in.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM, your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew continues on with friend of the show, Andrew Langer.
Between 2009 and 2013, the Clinton Foundation was the recipient of four suspicious donations totaling $2.35 million
from. That's a lot of money.
Russian-linked sources, including Uranium One's chairman, former President Bill Clinton, personally received $500,000.
That's a lot of money.
For one speech, which apparently, from what I heard, lasted like 20 minutes to a half hour. From a Russian government-linked investment bank that was promoting a Uranium One stock. I want to know what was in that half-hour speech.
Thanks, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Where's the vodka?
I want to talk about saxophones. While the Uranium One deal was under consideration by the Treasury Department, that bank analysis, we're talking up the value of that firm's stock, and this comes out of the Community Magazine, the other Russia scandal. But Andrew, real quick, Andrew Langer looked at all the Washington Post, Washington Times, CNN, New York Times, New York Post, LA Times. None of them had the story this morning.
Yeah. Well, let's not put too fine a point on it, guys, right? Because you've got multiple people, multiple attorneys general around the United States. The Attorney General of Maryland is suing the Trump administration because they're claiming that Trump somehow will be swayed by people staying in the Trump International Hotel. So someone paying $1,000 a night for a hotel room, because presumably these foreign governments are going to, you know, get nice suites. Someone paying $1,000 a night for a hotel room, that's going to sway the Trump administration somehow. But $145 million to the Clinton Foundation, to the business owned by the husband of the Secretary of State,
yeah.
$500,000 for a 20-minute speech. Mm. Oh, no, that has nothing to do with the selling of 20% of the U.S. uranium to this company. I mean,
and keep in mind,
insanity in which we now live.
This all happened while she was Secretary of State. This wasn't, you know, I had people coming at me on social media saying the timelines don't jibe up, you know. No, this all happened while she was Secretary of State between 2009 and 2013.
Well, I mean, guys, remember, I mean, this is just the one instance that we know about that's the latest thing coming out. Because remember, both Huma Abedin and Cheryl Mills, so Hillary Clinton's right hand and her left hands, were both double dipping with businesses that had business with the State Department. And so, you know, listen, I know the election's over. We're not trying to relitigate the election. But remember that we went down this road almost 2 years ago, guys, because of this stench of cronyism that sort of was wafting from Foggy Bottom. I know it's a cacophony of imagery at this early in the morning. But, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, even if you don't have proof that there was collusion, that this somehow swayed the deal, the FBI at least felt that there was important enough to investigate a bribery scandal for a business that was giving $145 million to the husband and daughter, right? Because it wasn't just Bill Clinton. Chelsea Clinton works for the Clinton Foundation, too. The husband and daughter of the sitting Secretary of State.
It looks like bribery. It smells like bribery. I mean, it's got all the indications of bribery. And when you apply the same standards, as you mentioned earlier, when you apply the same standards that are currently being applied to the Trump administration, right, with the concern about people staying in Trump properties and things like that, when you apply those same standards, this looks absolutely 100% corrupt. And if you look back at the time of the deal, from this piece from Commentary Magazine, right, the evidence was obtained in 2010. The Bureau continued to investigation for another 4 years. In that interim, the Uranium One deal, among others benefiting Moscow, was approved and implemented by the Obama administration, and the relevant members of Congress were never briefed about this probe, about this FBI investigation. Why would that be?
Well, insofar as you want to, if you're trying to keep, listen, giving them the benefit of the doubt, if you're trying to keep the investigation from being politicized, you don't want to leak it. But on the other hand, members of Congress have a right to know in terms of their ability to exercise their oversight responsibilities over these agencies. That's why we have the separation of powers in government. No, I mean, the reality is that you know, I think you hit the nail on the head, Drew. What happened in 2010? Well, Congress changed hands once again, and the Republicans were in control. And so the case can be made that you don't want to give the Republicans, now that they're in charge, fodder over investigating more Hillary Clinton State Department.
Now, the New York Post has put up an editorial going back to the lack of coverage that we cited earlier. They did put up an editorial of the board. But what's interesting about it is how it's being framed. Team Obama's stunning cover-up of the Russia crimes. It turns out the Obama administration knew the Russians were engaged in bribery, kickbacks, and extortion in order to gain control of its U.S. Atomic resources, yet still okayed the 2010 deal to give Moscow control of one one-fifth of America's uranium. This reeks. But there's almost no mention of... The only mention in here of Hillary is the Peter Schweizer book, Clinton Cash, yep. And then New York Times confirmed and followed up with the Schweizer reporting, all of it denounced by Hillary as a partisan hit job. That's the only mention that the New York Post gives of Hillary Clinton's involvement in any of this.
That's astounding. And I got to tell you, you go back and you look at PolitiFact, you look at FactCheck.org, and they all went after Chris Wallace from Fox News, went after Peter Schweizer with a vengeance. When he sort of made these allegations in his book. And obviously, Peter Schweizer did not have access to these FBI files. I mean, or maybe he did and he just couldn't print them because he didn't want to divulge his source. But they went after him. Schweizer said back in 2016 just that he was stunned at the lack of interest on the part of major news media in covering this. $145 million. That is verified. You know, once again, you go back to President Trump says a lot of things that folks don't want to take seriously. The president said this on the campaign trail, said $145 million. He was absolutely correct. And this is a shame on the Obama administration and shame on the media.
Yeah, it was June during the campaign when Trump started hitting Clinton for all the money that was given to the Clinton Foundation in return for favorable treatment. And of course, he was mocked and derided and laughed at. I mean, this is the type of thing we've known about the Clintons for a long time. It's kind of like wine scum, right? It was a very poorly kept secret,
right?
That the
right.
Clintons were corrupt and they were exchanging, you know. Speaking fees on Wall Street and things like that for favors. You know, it's the entire purpose of the existence of the Clinton Foundation.
Well, I mean, listen, it's yet another example of the bizarre double standard that seems to exist in law. There's one set of laws for the Clintons and there's another set of laws for everyone else.
Well, double standard in law and a double standard in our media, too.
Well, that goes without saying. I mean, they will do whatever they can right. to sort of protect her. I mean, Lord knows, guys, listen, imagine if she were president right now, none of this would have come out.
No, there's no way. Do you think that this goes anywhere from here? I mean, apart from being able to counter any of the ridiculous assertions of Trump-Russia collusion in the absence of any evidence, I mean, this sort of takes that power away, blows up that narrative. But do you think that this goes anywhere else beyond what we're talking about today?
Listen, I think it circulates around conservative media for a while, and unless there is a massive smoking gun or some sort of public embarrassment for the new director of the FBI, I can't imagine that it's going to go anywhere.
Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty. Hey, man, thanks for coming on short notice and then talking with us about this.
Night.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Coming up. All right, so coming up.
God, this is a mess.
Obama has begun calling American people to console them. We'll tell you what about.
I want one of those calls.
Also, this is one of these articles that I have here in my hands. This was from yesterday afternoon. This was after the Uranium One story broke, okay? From Newsweek. I haven't seen an article suffering and an article writer, this Julia Glum from Trump derangement syndrome, this bad in a long, long time. The headline is this, and we'll get to it coming up. How Hillary Clinton still can and should become president after Trump-Russia investigation.
You're not going to want to miss this.
Justice.
If you have not downloaded the iHeartRadio app, you need to do that. You go to the Justice and Drew channel, and you can download the show and the hours you missed. We also have clips that are available there. You can also listen to Twin Cities News Talk wherever you go. I was doing that yesterday. I was playing Star Wars Battlefront, listening to Sean Hannity, preparing everybody for TikTok and Uranium One. I was listening to Hannity cover that yesterday. So if you haven't downloaded the iHeartRadio app, you need to do so.
Yeah, I was sitting out on my deck yesterday enjoying a custom station and found a handful of new songs. Not new, I mean, they're older songs, but songs I wasn't familiar with, songs that I hadn't heard before.
Yeah?
Really, really enjoyed. Familiar with... you know the Beastie Boys, right?
Oh, yes.
Johnny Ryle.
Okay, right.
I heard the original song that riff came from.
Oh, okay.
I'd never heard
sample
that
from, okay.
Yeah, really, really cool song.
Yeah. You know by who it was by?
I can tell you.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay. You can go find...
Somebody I had not heard of before.
Okay. How did you stumble across that? iHeart gave you a gift.
iHeart gave
is what you're
little,
saying.
Gave me an early Christmas present.
That's nice.
And as I learned from Donald Trump last night, we're going to start saying Christmas again.
That's right. Because it's important.
We're going to start saying Merry Christmas.
Because again. America.
Because Donald Trump is going to make us. I'm not sure, but apparently.
What's really funny is that we both pulled two different things from the Heritage Foundation tax speech yesterday. So
David Bromberg. The song is called Sharon.
David Bromberg? Wasn't he like a Virginia senator?
I don't know.
I'm thinking Sam Brownback. I think
that's Kansas.
No, I think he was Utah, wasn't he? However, side note, was a big Beastie Boys fan. So no, but we both watched that that Heritage Foundation Trump speech yesterday, and you had your observation.
Well, it was a good speech.
Yeah.
It was a really good speech.
He was
talking to the Heritage Foundation about
the Trump train
and how important it was, and I was enjoying the speech. I thought he was making some really good points, and I thought it was the right speech for that audience.
That's right.
But it just in the middle of it or towards the end, He was urging the people in the audience to contact their senators, contact their congressmen, and urge them to pass the tax reform, get it on his desk so he can sign it. And he said, it'll be a great Christmas present to the American people.
Yeah, that's right. It would be.
To everyone.
And then he went off on a tangent about Christmas. And speaking of Christmas, we're going to start saying Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Again.
That's what are you talking about? Last year, I had this conversation with you, John, that it was a much merrier Christmas.
Yeah, of course
after
it was.
The election.
Some of us have never stopped saying Merry Christmas.
That too.
But he just went off on this little 5-minute tangent about how it's going to be great. I want to walk into a store and I want to see Merry Christmas.
That's brilliant.
So do I.
We're going to start saying that again. What is he going to do though? Like suddenly, suddenly some Walmart somewhere that maybe instructed their employees to say Happy Holidays is good. Well, President Trump wants us to say Christmas, so.
Yeah,
but I guess we better start doing. That's not going to happen.
It's executive action mistletoe.
It is not.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's something else entirely. Probably would not fly
something
in the
Harvey
wake
Weinstein
of Harvey Weinstein. That's right. Yep. Right there with me.
Out under mistletoe again.
We're gonna
make mistletoe great again.
Mistletoe perpetuates rape culture.
We're gonna bring the French up in here. Get it done right. No, but it's funny.
Silly little tangent.
But here's the thing, because Trump is so equal opportunity, because you shared that with me. Initially, when we started talking, you said, hey, did you watch the Heritage Foundation tax speech? And I had a whole different thing, right? Uh-huh. So you grabbed that, and I have no problem with that, because to me, that's Trump. Not just being Trump, but he's playing to everybody. You got
I know.
He got you.
I don't have a problem.
I know.
I just think it's silly.
It's funny though, because he got you. You're like, yeah, good speech on taxes. And then for the average person watching, he's like, yeah, speech on taxes was good. And then he hits upside the head with America Christmas, and we're like, yeah, Christmas.
Christmas.
Gosh darn it.
We're gonna be saying Christmas again.
Screw this Happy Holidays crap.
Downright un-American.
There are other holidays that go on in December. Though,
no, there's
that
not.
That aren't Christmas.
No, there's not.
There's a whole
very,
very popular religion.
That's for other
that
people.
That celebrates an entirely different holiday
that's
around that
for
same
them.
Time.
For me, it's Christmas, right?
They also go to stores, though.
I know.
I mean, I don't know. Did you have to take offense when you hear Merry Christmas?
No, it's all a choice.
Right.
It's a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice. You can choose whether or not. And see, what the thing about it that never bothered me was that it's, I would always assume, and again, not being a person that would, you know, that would have a problem with it already. I got to say that up front. But if somebody is, okay, like if I'm at Target and the employee said, you know, Happy Hanukkah. I'm not going to be bothered by that because to me, it's a holiday greeting from that person's perspective to me.
Yep.
And so I go, hey, man, that's cool for
exactly.
you.
Yeah.
Yep.
The intent behind it is nothing but kindness.
And a Merry Christmas right back in your face.
Yeah, somebody says Happy Holidays to me. Thanks. Somebody says Merry Christmas. Thanks. Somebody says Happy Hanukkah. Cool, man. Thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I don't care. Am I going to get offended?
So the thing that bothered me was that he was talking about the taxes, right? And he says, we're going to, you know, if they get this done, it's going to be the largest tax cut in American history, right? And first I kind of go, okay, is that true? Because he seems to exaggerate.
It's a very Trumpy thing to say.
But then he followed it up with, and a bunch of just amazing, great things are gonna happen.
You're gonna love it.
And I went,
everybody's gonna love it.
I went, what? Just, and it's like, it's like he wanted to go somewhere, and like the road just ended, and a bunch of and just you know stuff and things and money and yeah, Christmas. Yeah. And we're gonna say it again.
He's a talk host. You know, he falls into the same trap that every talk host finds themselves in every once in a
yeah,
while. Okay. Where you just start wandering down a path and all of a sudden you don't realize
how to get back
to the main road.
Well, he's thinking of offensive things to say to fallen soldiers' families.
Oh, well, yeah.
He's busy.
But even that was contextual.
I know, it's not true.
All the headlines of him with this fallen soldier, all these headlines written, you know, Trump says to widow of fallen soldier, he knew what he signed up for. And you that's all how you read it in context. Because mm-hmm. to me, I read that and I go, well, yeah.
Well, Trump's now saying it's not even true.
Oh, he's not even saying he said that. But even right. if he did, it could have easily have been, hey, I am so sorry for your loss. But, you know, he knew what he was signing up for. I mean, that's not a disrespectful thing to say.
He made the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
But now he's saying he didn't even say it.
Yeah, he tweeted out this morning. Let me find it. He tweeted out about an hour ago, Democrat congresswoman totally fabricated what I said to the wife of a soldier who died in action, and I have proof. Sad.
Sad.
Yeah, threw the sad
that.
In there.
Love that.
It's pretty soon it's going to be like sad TM. It's a trademark sad.
I want that on a t-shirt. And why did I need any of that? Just sad.
It's so sad. It's so sad.
Sad.
So yeah, so he's denying, he says it's a complete fabrication. So we'll see. I'm sure there'll be an FBI investigation into this soon enough.
Tapes.
Yeah, where's the tape?
Out of the Borowitz report, former President Barack Obama has started calling every person in America to offer consolation about Donald Trump being president. And Obama's confirmed this. Is this a joke? Is this from The Onion?
Can't wait to slam the phone down when he calls me.
It's something I meant to do after the inauguration, Obama said, during a brief break from the phone calls. I feel terrible that I didn't get to it sooner. The former president said that although the phone calls are a small gesture, he felt that he had to do whatever he could to extend his sympathy about Trump being president.
I don't buy this. This isn't real.
No.
This is a fundraiser. These are probably recordings. And it's probably ended with a pitch for money.
There's a lot
it's
of
gotta be.
Pain out there that a phone call from me can never fix. He said, "I still want people to know I care."
This is how, and this speaks to how, like, you know, the liberalist of the liberal view government. Like, it is so, government is such an integral part of their life that when people that they don't support win elections, they feel actual like physical pain. They need consoling.
Right. Yep.
I've rarely had the candidate that I've supported win an election in my life, and I've never walked away going, I just need a phone call from Obama would make me feel a whole lot better.
What happened? You know? I mean, that's the whole narrative. You lost. That's what it is.
Carol Foyer, who's been grieving since Trump was elected last November, said that she's... hold on, can we stop? If this is true, because I've still put shenanigans on the whole thing, because this just doesn't sound real.
It's a fundraising
But these are quotes from Obama. I mean, the fact that he's even saying he's making these phone calls, I'm not even believing is true. But this woman who's been grieving since Trump was elected, what's that like?
I mean, grieving?
Yeah,
grieving.
Grieving.
Is this his everyday sobbing? Does it take a moment out during the day to grieve? Right? Said that said that receiving a call from Obama Monday meant a lot. The fact that he took time to call me when he had 300 million more people left to call is something I'll never forget. He's not Santa. I'm calling shenanigans.
In Carol Foyler's world, he might as well be.
This has got to be fake news. This has got to be fake news.
He might as well be Santa.
This next article is not fake news.
Merry Christmas.
Out of Newsweek. Julia Glum has got problems. Trump, and the name is Trump. Julia Glum writes this in Newsweek, right? And this came out after the whole Uranium One deal. Sure, it's been more than 340 days since Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton, but there's still one very narrow, highly unlikely, and entirely unprecedented way that Clinton could become president. And it has some Democratic diehards dreaming again. Well, you know what, Julia? Whatever gets you through the day. Harvard University professor Lawrence Lessig offered a Clinton path to the presidency on Medium, putting forward a series of if/then scenarios that led to House Speaker Paul Ryan handing the White House keys to Clinton. So here's how law expert Lessig send it out. Oh, Drew, can we make
this
it better?
Is really dumb.
Can you grab? Can
this
you
is so dumb?
Grab the numbers. Let's get the because this is a lot more. We'll go. Let's go back and forth. Okay.
So this
back and forth.
This Lawrence Lessig, Harvard University.
Yeah.
This is his path to make Clinton president.
Yeah.
Number one.
If Trump is definitely found to have colluded directly with Russia, then he would be forced to resign or be impeached.
Okay, so he has to be conclusively found.
Conclusively found
right.
to have colluded. Okay.
That's not going to happen. Can we just end it now?
Well,
that's not going to happen.
But let's, for the sake of the other reasonings, we'll give a little bit that, okay.
All right.
If.
We'll go if.
Definitely found. I'll give you that, okay? All right.
Number two.
If Trump is then removed, impeached, or resigned, Vice President Mike Pence would become president.
Okay, that is factual.
There you go.
That's
how it works.
We'll give you number two.
All right.
Okay.
Number three.
If Pence becomes president, he should resign too, given that he benefited from the same help from Mother Russia.
Oh, okay, so now we're just into should.
Okay.
Not like the okay, he's impeached. That's something that is beyond Trump's control.
Right.
Right? The House impeaches him, and then Pence becomes president. Now it's just, we're into, well, he should.
Okay. All right.
We'll just encourage him strongly to also resign.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to give him 3-2 just because I think that Mike Pence is a really great guy.
Okay.
So we'll just say he's a really great guy.
He'll pull like a Ned Stark,
Yeah.
Man of honor.
We'll give him that one.
Okay.
Okay.
Number four.
If Pence resigns before appointing a vice president, then Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, would become president.
Okay. So.
So we're back into like a reality based scenario.
Right.
Where this is the procedural things that would happen.
Evidence. Okay. Right. Right. We have evidence. And then factual Pence.
Yeah.
And then Pence. Great, great, honorable dude. Okay, then factual again.
Right.
Okay,
right,
okay. Right. So we'll give him four.
All right, so we're on to number five?
Yeah.
All right.
Number five.
If Ryan, this is right, yeah. if Ryan becomes president, then he should do the right thing and choose Clinton for vice president, then he should resign. All right, now you lost me, Julia. Now.
This is so dumb.
I'm sorry. That's not, no. Now you're on the...
It all hinges on Paul Ryan electing to choose Hillary Clinton
and then
as vice president and then resigning.
And then he resigns.
Wow.
What?
That's the best thing. I could come up with an easier, more plausible path for Hillary Clinton to become
president.
And I'm not a Harvard University constitutional law expert.
No, you're not.
I am not. For the record.
Okay.
All right. The Democrats win the House in 2018.
Okay.
Right, let's say they get an overwhelming majority in the House.
There's about as good a chance of that happening as all the things on this list, but it could happen.
Let's say Democrats get a real solid majority in the House in 2018. Like, things just keep going haywire, and the media just will not let up, and, all these fake scandals continue to bubble up, and it affects the 2018 midterm.
Okay, right? Fine. I'll follow you down this path.
Democrats get the House.
Right.
They can select anybody they want as speaker. It does not have to be a member of Congress.
Okay.
There's no rule that says you have to choose a sitting member of the House. So they select Hillary Clinton as speaker.
Okay.
Now she's third in line for the presidency. They have the House. They issue articles of impeachment against Trump and Pence, and they impeach him, and Hillary Clinton's president. Isn't that a lot easier than this ridiculous path that...
It's about as unlikely, but it is easier.
I'm not saying it's likely, but
it is easier.
A lot more plausible, and it doesn't rely on Mike Pence and Paul Ryan just doing things because we want them to.
We'd really like it if you would resign and choose Hillary Clinton as your vice president. Would you mind doing that? That'd be really great.
Further in the article, it says this. The answer seems unavoidable. He should nominate the person defeated by the treason of his own party and then step aside and let her become the president, Lessing writes. Without doubt, if Ryan did the right thing, that would be the most extraordinary event in the history of America since the Confederate Army fired on Fort Sumter. But unlike that, this event would build the nation, not divide us. This guy's an idiot.
Wow.
Yeah, because we'd all just totally come together after that.
This would, everybody would be.
Oh yeah.
It'd be unicorns and ponies for everybody.
Oh yeah, everybody, left, right, you know, dogs, cats, just
all
getting
those
together.
Trump supporters out there would be like, oh, you know what? I'm totally cool with this.
I'm gonna need you to resign.
So unifying what you guys did there, taking the person that we voted against and making her president. That was just so we're all together now.
You know, it's not unlike if they actually moved forward and stripped out of the Constitution the right to keep and bear arms, and then those that have weapons currently would certainly, in the wake of such an event happening, would certainly gladly give up their arms to the federal government and confiscate them in order to make us a gun-free America.
It would be unifying.
We would all come together as one.
Yeah, it would build the nation,
since
not divide it.
You've done that. You've gone through all that hard work. Bunch of idiots.
Unbelievable.
I don't feel bad that they're grieving.
But this is their reality, then yes, they should be grieving.
651-989-5855. Speakers overwhelmingly tell Hennepin County Board that they favor renaming Lake Calhoun. Many at Hennepin County hearing want a new... I thought we decided this.
Yeah, I thought it was already done.
Apparently it's not. Also, police are...
Are we still going with Bidet Makiska?
Yeah, we are going.
They couldn't come up with a better one?
Wellstone.
Or what?
Wellstone.
Like Wellstone?
Yes.
Is that
a thing. I read that.
Oh, no.
What's Wellstone?
Hashtag fake news.
We'll get to that. Police are warning, don't dress as a clown for Halloween unless you want to get injured. And we'll talk with SE Cup from HLN coming up at 8:30.
Justice.